Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, people, it's the Mighty 10, the 10th episode of Down the Wire. And we liked last week so much that we're going to do it again. Let's just talk stories back and forth and back and forth, back and forth and back and forth. Yes! And wrapping it up with another Mighty Top 10. Top 5 for Tom, top 5 for me. All coming at you down the wire, baby.
Okay, get me out of this house, get me out of my head.
Episode 10! Got me all jacked up for that one. I don't need to stretch.
I'm stretching for you.
Oh my God! 10 episodes, double digits. We made it. Yeah, always. We went 2.5 months.
We dedicated ourselves for 10 weeks. That is the longest I dedicated myself to anything since March of last year.
That's pretty much longer than any substantial relationship I've ever
been. Yeah, 10 weeks. That's about when I usually give it a quit.
Right, and I've been with my girlfriend for like 8 months.
Mm. What?
Yeah.
Well, okay, well, then what was the point of the 10 weeks?
Well, I said substantial. I love you.
Oh,
love
there
you.
It is. She listens. So she I know she follows yeah. it. I thought that, you know what's the real funny part about that? So I saw that she followed it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But she doesn't like have her name as like the thing. It's just like a bunch of letters and numbers or whatever, kind of Amy's is, right? If you see it.
Amy's her sister, by the way.
By the way. So I saw her and she's like got like a tropical ocean view picture or something on Facebook as her profile picture. So that's her profile picture on Podbean.
Okay.
And I thought that was the Malaysian listener and I got really excited.
Oh,
I know.
Sorry.
No, I know. And it got me all hyped up for no reason.
No. She says she listens to us on like the ride to work, which I think she lives like 10 minutes away. So you know she gets real far into our podcast.
What a week in news. We're just gonna start rattling off stories again. I liked last week a lot better, and I think it works better for us. So we'll do it that way.
Sure, despite what our listeners want, which is nothing apparently, because no one comments on anything.
Well, we are just not good at this, maybe. Maybe that's just probably what it is.
Well, you know what? I don't care.
Someone give us some attention.
All one Malaysian listeners can
If we've gotten
enjoy.
To Malaysia, we can get one comment from someone we know.
Okay, next up, I'm shooting for Estonia.
I'm all about Djibouti, if you know what I mean.
Hey,
so if we can get out there.
Djibouti rocking everywhere.
That almost worked.
Yeah, it's way too hard to say.
You can't do it. What a week in news. What do you want to talk about? Why don't you lead us off today?
Okay, well, let's start off with the beginning of the week. The beginning of last week, rather.
Okay.
Dude, Paul Pierce. What you doing, Paul Pierce?
Paul Pierce, man. Oh, my God. You got to turn down the horny a little bit.
Oh, for people who haven't heard, I feel like this is a fairly common story.
This might have been nationwide, not just sports-wide story, yeah.
Paul Pierce decided to go on Instagram and start showing off his smoking skills along with his good friends, Jade,
Charity.
Diamond.
Mercedes.
Pretty much every stripper in in like a 5-block radius.
They were all there. They were all chopping it up.
And, well, needless to say, Paul Pierce got canned from ESPN real, real fast.
Which I get why, but man, that sucks.
Really?
Paul Pierce sucked too.
Paul Pierce was a terrible analyst.
He wasn't
it's
very
no
good.
Loss at all.
Like, he doesn't need any more money anyway. I mean, no. He had enough for all those
did you see
friends
that?
To come by.
He like went online like the next day or like 2 days later. It was like, big things are coming.
I saw, is that the one where he was like, you just gotta smile? Like, what, and he was laughing about it.
Dude, you have nothing planned.
Nothing. He's gonna sit at home. He's gonna keep rolling up his herbal medicine and calling up his paid for friends.
Well, you know, like, they know.
And good for him.
Well, they know that, like, basketball players love the strippers. Like, 90%
didn't
of the
didn't we
of the
say
NBA.
How James Harden has his jersey retired at a strip
yes.
club?
Yes. And not to mention the Lou Williams story
oh,
at Magic
yeah,
City.
Oh, yeah, leaving the bubble.
Which I will say, I have watched many a review of the Magic City wings.
Good chicken wings?
Terrible chicken wings.
Oh,
so,
no.
Really? I'm calling out Lou Will.
Dude.
Yeah, he definitely went for a woman and did not go for chicken wings.
Big L. Big yeah. L. If the chicken wings were at least good.
I watched at least 5 different YouTube reviews.
I went to Yelp.
I was like, I was super on and into this story. So I wanted to know what was up with these chicken wings.
We should do a podcast from the strip club where he went. To
Magic City?
The Magic City chicken
wings. In Atlanta?
Wings. Yeah, we should do a live review
yeah,
of them.
You know what? I'll get right on that. But yeah, so Paul Pierce, he gone.
Yeah, that was a good one to lead it off. I will bring up a little bit of recent NFL news.
Okay.
Just from today. We lost a valuable gym rat, as some would call it. And a valuable, a real class act, as you would do. Who are you talking about?
Oh, we're not talking about Julian Edelman?
Oh, canned? You said Eddie, and I was wondering.
Eddie.
Yeah, Edelman. Well, he turned it into a retirement ceremony today.
I mean, what, you thought he was going to go anywhere else? He's going to pull, like, a Wes Welker
dude.
And randomly go play for, like, the Jets?
Why
the
wouldn't he randomly just go play for Tampa Bay? Why not? They're not going to bring back Antonio Brown.
He's not a sellout.
He is a sellout for getting drafted with Tom Brady. You just got sold out, but you
he's
didn't
a
even.
Sellout for
yeah, it's not
he
his fault.
Help.
It's not his fault. Tom Brady's going to win it every year, though. But so you sold out.
If you
really weren't a sellout, you would refuse to sign the contract after you're drafted.
Really,
and
it
go
was,
somewhere else.
It was either going to be Tampa or bust, right?
That's pretty much what it.
I'm
to
not
do.
Surprised. So whatever.
Is he a Hall of Famer?
Nah.
But his playoff production, man.
So.
He was so good. I think he has the all-time yards, maybe even catches in playoffs.
I'm not giving it to him. I'm not giving him the Hall of Fame. No.
I don't think so either. But it's a good topic, maybe. We could debate that later.
Sure.
Yeah,
I
later
think so.
Time. Also, one other guy I got to bring up real quick who's just been on an absolute tear. Let's get into baseball.
Okay.
Akil Baddoo. Is that how you say that name? The guy from the Tigers.
I would assume it's Akil. But
Akil Baddoo.
If I had to guess.
22 years old, was a Rule of 5 draft pick. So he had
Rule
to be.
Rule 5 draft,
yep,
okay.
So he had to be on the roster.
Mm-hmm.
And has just been absolutely tearing the cover off the baseball in the last week.
I had heard a lot of stories about him. He brought his like mom to.
His first MLB pitch cracked it. Gone. First one of his career.
Legend.
Exactly.
But yeah, he like brought his mom to like one of the games, and his mom gave like the most adorable interview that honestly like made me well up a little bit.
Well, you're a softie. So.
You know what though? I'm only like that because I never had that type of love from my mother. Right, Mom?
Yeah, exactly. And he's also got a walk-off. He's the youngest to ever get a walk-off. In Tigers history since like 1991, that he's just been absolutely tearing the cover off the ball, and a guy who's been one of the hottest hitters in the league, and really the only reason to watch Detroit baseball.
Well, honestly, baseball's been slow. The run differential this year is not what it's been, and I know that it's something that the MLB brought up this week, is that they are taking back the juice balls. Remember that that was a thing that they juiced the baseballs to help kind of make some action. And we were seeing it like in games. It was like home run or bust for a lot of the games. And now that they've deadened the balls a little bit, go and look at the run differentials, man. It is, for the most part, not as good.
Well, and they were talking about, they also brought in some of Trevor Bauer's baseballs.
Oh, yeah, it was
good.
Did
you see that?
That was actually my Wirtz story.
Oh, okay.
So let's get right into it.
We'll
go right into it.
Okay, we'll do your best in Wirtz real
quick. Okay, my best story. I want to talk about the announcer on Friday's basketball game for the Golden State Warriors. Did you hear about that?
I did not.
Aaron Taylor, a 55-year-old man, has been has spent two decades in San Quentin prison facility.
He's the broadcaster now?
He got a chance to call some of the Warriors game last week.
No shit!
Was in prison for 26 years for a robbery and assault with a deadly weapon that he did commit, right?
Okay.
And he was actually just released a few months ago, but he owned up to his crimes and is now kind of like being rehabilitated back to everything, and he's trying to make himself a better man. So while he was at San Quentin, though, he started doing the play-by-play calling of the basketball games. A lot of it was improvised and then eventually got to be more formal, and he worked very, very hard at it.
So he was broadcasting the games in prison?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and so...
That's badass.
Now, though, when the Golden State Warriors would visit in San Quentin, what is that? Like somewhere around
did
there.
Did they do a Netflix documentary on this prison?
Maybe, I don't know.
I think so.
But he would call those games, right? So a few weeks ago after his release, the Warriors called him up and offered Aaron Taylor a chance to be a guest public announcer against the Houston Rockets.
That is April so 10th. Cool.
So that's Saturday, yeah. Actually. Yeah. So he got to meet all the players. Like Steph Curry was super cool, like happy to have him there. And as like that ex-con on parole, man, good for him, man, to kind of battle back after, you know, I guess going through some adversity, obviously, that he caused. But, man, that's quite a comeback story. And that's hopefully he can do some more.
That is really cool. I think that, you know, it's very hard sometimes to find employment and jobs, especially after like felonies like that, and to give him a cool opportunity like that. Yeah, I'm totally down with it.
Yeah,
if he was broadcast, I would love to see some of his like broadcasting clips from the prison games.
I would assume it's pretty good, right?
That's what I mean. If they gave him an opportunity to call an NBA game, yeah, would be bad.
I mean, he even said, he said, man, I made it to the NBA. Damn straight you did, dude.
Yeah, that counts.
To get like a full quarter? Way to go.
That counts. All right. So, now, you're going to have to forgive me here. I accidentally brought up my best story already, Akil Badu. But I have another one right here. So, I'll talk about it. Nate Lowe in the MLB. First baseman for the Texas Rangers. Just been absolutely tearing the cover off the baseball. And I have been watching so much baseball this season.
You have literally just told the same story, but replaced Akil Badu with Nate Lowe.
He has been tearing the cover off the baseball, too.
And Detroit Tigers with Texas Rangers.
Nate Lowe is just the third player. I'm going to keep telling this fucking story now, all right?
Okay, go.
Damn it, I almost said Akil Badu now because you did that. Nate Lowe.
My bedad.
14 RBIs through the first five games of the season already. One of those guys who was in their farm system for a little bit and didn't know if he was going to ever truly come out of his shell. But he leads the team in homers, hits, RBIs, and Texas still sucks. And they're probably not going to do anything, but they got a little bit of a future to look forward to, I would say. And Orlando Arcia also got traded, and that was also part of my good news. I was very happy for him to be gone.
You should be extra happy because Keston Hira is playing second base today.
Oh.
Yeah.
That doesn't make me as happy as you would think because that means Colton Wong's not playing.
Well, that and Daniel.
But Vogelbach.
Dan Vogelbach is playing first base.
That dude.
Muscle.
He looks
like a muscular turtle.
He is like a mass that just holds a baseball. That's what he looks like.
Dan Vogelbach looks like. If you took the elephant man's elephantitis off of that person's body and gave it a baseball bat and put a Brewer's hat on top of him.
Dan Vogelbach looks like that kid from Fairly Odd Parents with the boil, but just the boil.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I can see that. Dan Vogelbach looks like an entire bag of popcorn put together.
Like off the stovetop.
Yeah. Yeah. Just like if it was all connected, because there is no smooth surface on that man's body. It's
nothing.
All this round.
I just imagine he can flex that stomach and it's just a muscle. It's like a rock when you try to punch it.
Dan Vogelbach looks like the dude from Blade Runner that had the second face on its body. But he's that second face. You know what I'm talking about? I know you probably have never seen that Blade Runner. Not Blade Runner, sorry. Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Terminator.
Nope. God damn it. I'll think of it.
Happy Days.
Yes, Happy Days. Oh. That is definitely a Total Recall. That is it.
The pacifier.
That's Vin Diesel.
Vin Diesel. I know. Okay, I'm not that uncultured.
Okay.
I'm going to go. I'll fire off my Wurtz story real quick, too.
Okay.
While you're looking that up. This one was pretty easy for me, and it's Alex Rodriguez getting to buy the Timberwolves and Kevin Garnett not being able to.
I definitely wanted to talk about this.
Buy the Timberwolves.
Quick timeout. This is Quato or something like that. I think his name is.
That literally is Dan Vogelbach.
The dude hanging off the stomach.
Yeah.
That's definitely Quato is Dan Vogelbach. Just with more hair.
We might have to tweet that one out.
Yep.
Yeah, that one.
To Dan Vogelbach.
Yeah.
What if, can we bring him up on Cameo? Can we pay for like a 2-minute chat and be like, hey, can you read?
Do we get to chat with him or does he just send us a message then?
No. They do like chats. They do video chats.
Oh, we'll pay for it. Yeah, whatever.
It can't be that much, right?
For him?
I'm on that.
A-Rod buying the Timberwolves. Kevin Garnett, Minnesota. Your franchise. Over the however many years, maybe 20, 30 years it's been in existence, has sucked.
That is wild.
Terrible franchise. Absolutely dog shit. And you have an opportunity to get your best player in franchise history, won an MVP, made you guys competitive, and you have a chance to have him buy your team. And you sold for Alex Rodriguez, one of the shittiest people to ever play in MLB baseball.
Yeah, you know what? That's some BS.
Total
man.
BS.
There has to be more to this
now,
story.
Since A-Rod has left baseball and gone into, broadcasting and commentary and business, I've actually grown to like him a little more. Seems like a cool dude. He took a big L losing J-Lo. Big L.
Okay, he didn't lose. He gave her up, big dog.
Big L. That was just a huge... She's off the market probably by now, but if she's not, she's listening to this podcast, hopefully. Anyway, Timberwolves, dude, what are you doing? I hate this move, and the fans are going to be pissed, and the entire public is outraged by it, and Kevin Garnett, he's probably sitting there. He was one of my worst stories when they wouldn't let him buy it. Now that they sold out and let A-Rod get in there, stupid.
You know what's also funny is that a lot of they kind of snuck this Timberwolves part into the main story, which wasn't that he's buying the Timberwolves. It's he's buying the Minnesota Lynx, which, sure, they are very successful, right? But how is this not the like main attraction to this story?
Right.
Wouldn't you? Who cares about him buying the Lynx? No offense to the WNBA, we like that and all, but like, there is so much more going on with the Timberwolves because of this Kevin Garnett drama.
And the Timberwolves although they're not doing well this year, they got a young team, man. They got chance to be. They got a chance to have a pretty bright future. And Kevin Garnett at the helm of it.
I'm sorry, we've been saying this for a long time. They need all the help in the world.
They do, but they're going to get the first overall pick again this year.
Is that
how many?
Help?
How many can you get without being terrible? I mean, they have Karl Anthony Towns, Anthony Edwards balling out, D'Angelo Russell. Come on, we're getting close there. We're getting close.
Really, how close? Because last I saw, they're not in the playoffs.
Yeah, they're the worst team in the NBA.
So,
well, then sell the farm. All right, whatever it takes.
Man, and they better do it fast because Karl Anthony Towns is not playing like what he used to. He's not out there balling like what he was when he first came in or in college.
Get the Bucks to get him then. Yeah, that'd be a great guy to play next to Giannis.
Actually, it wouldn't be that bad.
He can shoot.
I was going to say, for how defensive that team is, they don't need to have a defensive five because, Karl Anthony Towns
doesn't play defense. He doesn't play defense. No, not at all.
All right. And we kind of alluded to it initially. Trevor Bauer, man. Trevor Bauer is the biggest, most lovable douchebag in the MLB.
It's crazy how arrogant he is and how much you can still be like, love that guy.
Yeah. And you know what? I think he has owned up to this persona. He has brought it in a lot of fans because of it, I think, over the past 2 years.
He's the reason the Astros got caught.
Yeah. 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 Well, he made wind of it, right? And which is funny. And, you know, when he made that statement, he wasn't all that great. I mean, he was a fine pitcher, but he let him, like,
He's changed his game the last two seasons, for sure.
Wow. I wonder how much you could say it was changed or if it was doctored. Because Trevor Bauer is being looked into by the MLB for having some form of foreign substance on his balls. Yeah. But on his pitching balls, I still have to laugh. I'm sorry. But yeah, and Trevor Bauer said that when he was whistleblowing against the Astros, that every pitcher in some way, shape, or form does this.
Yeah, he said it's worse than steroids, but it's not illegal. That's, I think, what he was saying.
Well, I mean, honestly... Did steroids really hurt baseball?
I think they should just let them put whatever they want on the ball and let them juice up.
I actually would have more that of game an
would
issue.
Be, it would be 400 strikeouts for the best pitchers and 70 homers for the best hitters.
Do you know how much his spin rate went up?
It was exponential. It was huge.
He had a spin rate of 2260 or something like that in 2019, right?
Mm-hmm.
Come the end of the 2020 season, when he won the Cy Young, his spin rate went up 500 points.
Holy shit.
To 2768, I believe. And the second place guy was Mike Minor. And his was at like 2660. So... he's not even close to the level of spin that Trevor Bauer has. That is nuts.
It is nuts. And it's clearly. Pitching, and you can see when he pitches.
It's clearly something extra. I'm sorry. Again, I love Trevor Bauer, but dude, you have done something. Now, maybe that's him trolling.
Yeah, what if they go and find some and they don't find anything?
Well, they're going to find something. It's too obvious. There's no way that you can go up that level, that amount of spin in a given year.
What's stopping pitchers from just throwing on like some lotion on their hands before they go pitch?
Well, really, what you're going to see if they crack down on this is like they're going to have some weird pregame rituals where they're eating like barbecue.
Yeah, some... they're going to be slopping those hands up.
Yeah, where they're just randomly like, oh, what did you do today? Well... I had honey on toast, and I scooped the honey out with my bare hands.
Ooh, that's probably what Trevor Bauer's doing.
Trevor Bauer
he
looks
would
like
be
a
weird, yeah, something weird like that. He might be just like taking a whole big thing of buffalo wings by the hands and then just not washing his hands after.
And like, I don't know. I'm pro and against at the same rate because the MLB, like I had said earlier, is down. And especially if they are taking away the power from the baseballs, seeing less action, the MLB needs a lot of help in making their sport popular. We've seen how that has gone over the past couple years.
Not very well.
And that's mainly because their social media game is trash.
Ass.
It's so bad.
Nothing compares to the NBA Twitter, but baseball. Well, get on your game.
That's because baseball cracks down. People can't post any clip without the MLB jumping in and threatening them with a lawsuit or taking it
down
altogether.
They're the Disney of pro sports.
Well, Disney is at least somewhat decent, but man, what the hell are you supposed to do? Again, so I could be for that. If Trevor Bauer makes baseball more popular, cool. But if he ends up making this more difficult in the long run, is it worth it?
Mm. Yeah, it could do something. Let's change it up a little bit. I have an interesting fact I want to say to you. And let's just talk off of that. We'll go into some NFL draft talk. All right.
Okay. By the way, more and more, Mac Jones, number 3 to the 49ers.
Can I say this?
Oh, is that where you're at? Okay,
say this? Halle Berry tweeted out.
Oh, why?
Just some sort of thirst trap in some way. Tell me something I don't know. To which Matt Miller, an NFL draft scout.
Yeah, I know. I know of him.
Quoted and said, Mac Jones and Trey Lance have the same number of games in college. I just got to say, that is nuts that the 49ers are going to trade up to number 3 to draft Mac Jones even more so now.
Mac Daddy.
Why?
Daddy Mac will make you.
I get it. He looked really good.
Draft.
He did look very good over the last season, and he set records in the FBS for, I think, passer rating and the completion percentage. I know he did completion percentage. But he was playing with a stacked team, man. Absolutely stacked. He had Devontae Smith, Jaylen Waddle, defense, all 5 stars, offense, Najee Harris. Who else was there? I mean, the list goes on. He's going to have plenty of first-round draft picks to help behind him. The more and more we get closer to the NFL draft, the more and more I am confused on why they needed to trade up from 12 to 3 to draft Mac Jones.
Yeah. We've talked about this. Mac Jones is not the most athletic quarterback out there. He's doesn't have the most talent. I wouldn't say that he's necessarily the smartest either. Like, nothing against him, but if we're going off of QB IQ, football IQ, do you think Mac Jones is better than
any of them? No.
Justin Fields?
Dude, everyone's coming at Justin Fields too. And we got to stop coming at Justin Fields because they're saying right now that his character is a little bit in question, right? Because they don't know how much he truly like loves football kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
Now, Mac Jones doesn't have one, but has 2 DUIs, and not one thing has been brought up about his character in these meetings. In fact, they're trading up from 12 to 3 to get him. I don't know what is going on. What is that? We won't dive into that side of it, but you need to know right now. I don't see anything number 3 draft pick worthy of Mac Jones. Staying at 12 and he falls there and you get him, okay, cool. That was a fine signing. They need a quarterback over there. To trade up for that, Colin Cowherd compared it to very Trubisky-esque move if they do it.
Yeah, look at
no one else liked Trubisky. None of the teams wanted him. They didn't care that they traded up from 3 to 2 to get him.
Yeah.
Instead of this huge jump from 12 to 3 now, they've given up this huge draft haul. And now no one else really wants Mac Jones. If you want to take Mac Jones, go ahead. You're going to – Justin Fields or Trey Lance is going to fall into someone's lap.
Atlanta.
And the 49ers could absolutely blow this whole thing taking him.
You know what? I did not have good opinions on John Lynch's hiring initially. But for the most part, he has surprised me. I thought he's done relatively well as a GM over in the Bay Area. But if this pans out like we all think it's going to pan out, man, this is really going to hurt his credibility.
Unless
dude.
They see something. They got to see something
I
crazy.
Don't know what they see.
He can't move? He doesn't – I mean, he's accurate, yeah, but he's got – he just makes wide-open throws.
And it's –
And what you need to do, you need to do at the next level.
Well, I'm kind of thinking about it now. Like, Mac Jones does kind of fit Kyle Shanahan's scheme better.
A lot of quick throws, and he's got to just run the ball most of the time.
Very Matt Ryan-esque. Yeah?
Yeah. And I think he was like a third overall draft pick, too. They need a difference maker at that position to really take him to the
yes.
next level.
And Justin
Jimmy
Fields
Garoppolo
is better,
boring.
Is
Jimmy Garoppolo is boring. Mac Jones is boring. You know what I mean? Yeah, they got to a Super Bowl with a boring quarterback. Didn't win it. Blew it, in fact. All they needed to do was score one touchdown. Yeah. Mac Jones, I don't think that's the move there. So, to Hold hear on. That Trey Lance and Mac Jones have had the same number of college starts, crazy to me, though.
Hold on. Let's put it in right now. Where is Trey Lance getting drafted to?
Trey Lance, dude, if Trey Lance got drafted before Justin Fields, I wouldn't be like mad as a team of that. He could too very well be drafted above that. I'm saying right now Trey Lance is probably going to Denver. If he doesn't go to Denver, he's definitely going to get picked up before New England. He's not going to fall past like the top 12 spots. They'll probably trade up
Again,
for him.
Whomever it is trading up to 5. That is my... I've been very adamant about this take.
Might even trade up to 4.
Well, no, because I think the Falcons are going to take a quarterback as well.
They kind of like Arthur Smith with Matt Ryan, I think. I think they do. He made Ryan Tannehill's career come out of nowhere.
That's fine. Except Matt Ryan's only got, what, 2-3 years left on him?
Yeah, but
maybe?
He's also got $40 million heading general. Towards his name.
But all the more reason why you get that quarterback to sit behind. Especially in this year's quarterback
class. It's the most stacked class we've seen in a while.
It's a damn good one, or at least, you know, projected.
Yeah.
But I do think that Fields goes number 4. If Mac Jones is at number 3, Justin Fields should get drafted at number 4.
Someone's going to have to take him because they're going to realize these quarterbacks are flying off the board and they're going to be so happy they don't have to trade up for the 3rd pick and they can only trade up for the 4th pick now too.
Yeah.
On top of it. I would say I'm scared New England's going to make a move for one of these and Belichick's just going to get Justin Fields or Trey Lance and he's going to do some crazy shit with it.
I'm telling you, it does not make sense. It does not make sense. That's not the quarterback that Belichick works with. And I'm talking this about outside of Tom Brady, right? Look at all the backup quarterbacks over the past 20 years of Bill Belichick.
What, Matt Castle and Jimmy Garoppolo?
Jimmy Garoppolo, Matt Castle.
Jacoby Brissett?
Well, Jacoby Brissett is probably the outlier, the one odd man out on that end of things, right? But, dude, Stidham? Stidham.
Yeah, he sucks.
But you know what? Does he not fit the same prototypical style quarterback?
If one of those guys are available for New England to pick, New England's going to take him.
I don't think they're moving up. No, not at all, in fact.
What else should we talk about today?
Speaking of football,
okay.
Did you hear about this Bellarmine College prep player?
I didn't.
His name is I just had it. Nico Domine. He is a triple threat player to this college prep squad, being a defensive back, a wide receiver, and the punter of this team.
Hell yeah.
Right? Well, this boy went to punt, botched the snap, and then ran it all the way back for 55 yards and a touchdown. Pretty damn impressive.
Badass.
Yes. Also, this guy is so confident in himself that he is already talking about becoming a walk-on to the University of Nevada's football team this fall.
Mm.
That's what he wants to do. So he's a pretty damn good athlete,
Nevada's
right?
Nevada's not anything big. I mean, they're not a Power 5 school. Why not give him a shot?
Well, and they're not, like, the worst team. Seems like I can remember them doing a couple things here and there.
Other than Colin Kaepernick, it's another Nevada football player. I can't name another.
Well, I mean, did you really think that you could think of, like, some more Nevada ones?
I feel like there's someone I'm missing.
I feel like there's a running back that we're missing.
Is that where Jamal Williams went?
I think you just made that up.
Maybe. Maybe I did. I think college prep, that's like technically, I know a couple people who are actually going into that later, and that's kind of scary at the same time. They're moving like far away. They're trying to make it out for them. It's like a different path other than like junior college, which has been really popular over the last few years.
He's part of the California scene. So this is not college. This is a high school.
Yeah, they're a prep school. And, but usually that they're a year removed from high school, I think, to go to prep school.
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I think so.
But a lot of their sports got canned because of Corona, right?
Oh, so they're all just starting
they're
up.
They're in the spring football season now. And you know, I've made a couple of references to these low-level sports teams, college and high school, with some wild plays. Apparently, like, it's been popping off.
They need to do a better job nationally at broadcasting these games, too. If they want to grow this out, it would only help everyone, too. People want to watch football year-round, and now that they know it's at least Division I football, maybe they'd like to look at it a little more. It would help out the scouting scene right now. If the NFL, or not the NFL, but if ESPN was smart, they'd be marketing these games a little bit better,
I think. You know, they were doing that a little bit.
Well, it was like the Deion Sanders coaching game. You know, like, obviously, yeah, they have to give him some prime time. No pun intended.
Ew.
Yep. But, like, let's show all the games. No one saw Trey Lance play. Barely at all. Everyone just knows he's good. You go back and look at him, and yeah, he was nuts. He had like 40 touchdowns and no interceptions. But no one got to watch any of them. Let's make the market bigger. The XFL came out, and we were watching that right from the beginning.
Yeah.
Why not?
There's some
ballers sometimes at those FCS schools.
What was that quarterback for the Washington Sentinels in the XFL?
PJ Walker.
PJ Walker.
Yeah, he's on the Panthers now.
Yeah, man. Like,
maybe he's come. Hey, quarterback battle. Sam Darnold's
trash.
PJ Walker. Teddy Bridgewater. It's quarterback battle. I have a fun story I also wanted to share today. Not going to probably get too far into it because we don't talk soccer at all.
Oh, no.
But Antoine Griezmann, okay, I think that's how you pronounce his name, just became a father to his third child 4 days ago.
He's got a lot to catch up on against Philip Rivers, man.
All three of his children were born on April 8th. 2016, man. 2019, 2021.
He's got a good timing.
Talk about like precision, mm-hmm. man, for that. What? All three of them? It's kind of funny because, you know, we kind of have that weird, like, you and our sister have a child on the same day, 14 years apart.
Yeah.
So I thought that was kind of relating a little bit. And that's wild. Three times in a row. And to do it like that, 2019, 2016, 2021. What a dog. 3-time confirmed sex haver too now. So
three. Good for him.
What a guy.
Hey, going back to the MLB, did you see Rogan Dodor got traded to the Yankees?
Dude, he looks like E.T. without his beard, man.
Do you know why he cut off his beard?
It's a policy.
For the Yankees?
Yeah.
I did not know this.
I didn't know about this until last year when they made Garrett Cole shave. That's when I heard about it.
So this is something that was implemented 48 years ago with George Steinbrenner, who saw Thurman Munson looking sloppy at a national anthem performance before a game, right? So it was implemented in, and they're allowed a mustache for religious reasons. But other than that, you have to be clean shaven.
Yeah. Isn't that ridiculous?
I hate the Yankees more and more.
Every day. But, I mean, maybe it's... And it hasn't worked. They haven't even gotten to the World Series in how long? Like 10 years?
Their players must have hair cut above the jersey collar. And...
So if they traded Josh Hader to, like, the Yankees, he'd have to cut his hair.
Bye. Or...
keep it in a bun? Can you do that?
The Mets... If the Mets had that, think of their star pitchers. Right?
They'd lose DeGrom and Syndergaard. Just like that.
Yeah. No long hair, and they are not permitted to have beards. Even today.
Yeah.
Isn't George Steinbrenner dead, people?
Been dead.
Can't we do something about this?
Because it's their tradition,
dude,
man.
I don't give a crap. Dude, I'm sorry. Baseball and tradition needs to die.
What?
Yes.
That's like the only part of baseball. Well, it's also the reason why they're not growing.
Yes. So. Okay. It needs to change, man. We were just talking about this last week with the idea of the designated hitter needs to be universal. I'm sorry. I do not want to see pitchers hit anymore. Also, it's time to get some better umps in, umpires.
Yeah, it's I don't want to do robot umps, though.
But did you see what happened this weekend, too?
Dude.
They hit by pitch?
Well,
and Michael Conforto hit by pitch. The Mets booth called bullshit on that.
They also, well, and what was it yesterday? Was it Phillies Braves? Is that who it was? The play at the plate?
Yes.
Just completely was out. I mean, you didn't even touch home plate, and he called him safe again. And damn, like... Angel Hernandez is just all over this, loving this whole thing up after he tried to do something and get his promotion, and he's known as a terrible ump, and now everyone else is being terrible, and we're going to see Angel Hernandez be a crew chief now because of this.
No, oh, yeah, is that...
Then we're going to get really bad. Well, and what are they trying out in... Single A ball, we said this year. We talked about it. They're trying out robot umps.
And guess what? If you umpires keep effing up like you do every week, it seems like.
It's going to happen.
Dude, robot umps are going to be here in no time at all. No time at all. And then at that point, that's a whole can of worms on your tradition in baseball.
Well, they're going to lose all everything. Their audience now, and then they're going to have to start from the beginning.
BS.
You think...
I'm telling you, if they start doing all these rule changes,
old people are going to hate that.
They are only going to gain.
Yeah, but old people are going to leave.
Well, old people are going to die.
Oh, jeez.
Well, it is what it is. I'm just saying, what? You're not going to get 50 years.
I guess you got to adapt with your audience. You got to adapt with the younger audience. I get it. I like a little bit of human error. But I don't like it screwing up games at the same time. Yeah. You know, you call a pitch on the outside corner, a strike every once in a while.
The hit by pitch and the Atlanta Philly incident, that was the end of the game. Like, the hit by pitch especially was the end of the game.
Yeah.
It was a walk-off hit by pitch. What the hell?
Atlanta's pretty good, though.
I mean, really, it's still middle of the pack for most teams. Like, everything, minus the Dodgers, who are 8-2, and the Padres, who are 7-3.
Oh, we didn't even talk about the Padres
yet. Yeah, Tatis.
Well, not just that. You led off with bad news. Oh, I'm more of a glass half full kind of guy.
Oh, yeah, well.
Joe Musgrove.
Grove half full. Musgrove half full.
Okay, maybe they can have a Musgrove for religious purposes, not a mustache.
Oh, yes.
That was
what we I had no
callback
idea.
From
I
that.
I was
one.
Like, that. I think that's a mask.
But Joe Musgrove throwing the first no hitter in Padres history.
Yay.
That's pretty fun. And the Padres are probably the only team that we have to dethrone the Yankees.
The Dodgers. Yeah, the Yankees aren't even doing all that much right now.
No, they're not anything crazy. We were just talking about them, so I messed it up.
Yeah, yeah. No, but it's true. The Padres are looking good. I'm happy that they're looking good.
Tatis is going to be out probably like 6 weeks, though.
He's talking about playing through it.
Really?
Yeah. It's actually,
I love him.
It's actually extreme. He's either going to play through it, or he's having season-ending shoulder surgery.
Oh, my God.
Yes. So.
No.
Honestly, Tatis was, like, going to be my MVP.
He might be, like, a top five player in baseball already. And he is.
Top five? I think you are underselling him.
Really?
Yeah.
Are we just talking about strict hitters right now, or are we?
Oh, I'm talking about
in
the whole package. Hitters, yeah.
Okay.
But I mean, it's the MVP. The MVP has always been a hitter thing. You don't get MVPs that are pitchers all that often. I'm sure it's happened before.
I think he's right up there. Yeah, after Trout, there's definitely a debate. I think Mookie Betts is up there probably as well. Acuna's got to be somewhere on that top five list.
Freddie Freeman is actually probably higher than Acuna, in my opinion.
They're both solid. Both solid. Acuna's just such a perfect baseball player. I mean, he's five tool all the way. Did you hear that?
What the hell?
What the hell is going on upstairs? All right.
Okay.
Anyway.
Losing Tatis, I mean, talk about baseball taking another hit.
That's
in
a huge hit for the market right there. Ugh. A huge hit. That is one of their star young guys.
That is their star.
Oh,
he's
the
bigger
future.
Star
he's
than,
the future.
He's the bigger star than Mike Trout. And that's because Mike Trout doesn't want, I didn't say a better talent. He's a bigger star than Mike Trout.
He might be.
Mike Trout doesn't like to be in the public eye. He likes to be hush-hush, pulled back.
How many people who watch their teams would be able to recognize Mike Trout, like, walking down the street?
Dude, I don't even know if I could get
you Mike couldn't? Trout.
I don't know.
Maybe.
I don't know. It's up in the air.
Just walking down the street.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Let's devote a lot of this time to our final thing. Let's do our top five video games right away.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
Not video games.
Sports
video
games.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of gauging to it to a younger audience, let's talk about sports and video games.
Dude, so my entire life, 21 years now.
Wow.
I think I'm a sports video game connoisseur, in a sense.
I can see that.
I dedicated a lot of time to sports video games over my... I get Madden every year, get 2K virtually every year, get the show virtually every year.
Lame.
I know my sports video games. I know what was a good sports video game, and I know what was a bad sports video game. Because just as easy as this top five best ones were, the top five worst ones are probably just as easy too.
Well, that's fair.
Any
bowling game.
Well,
ever.
You can just talk about what these companies have been putting out the last 2 years, but that's none of my business.
Yeah, no.
They've
been
slacking on sports video games, so a lot of mine.
Let's lay our ground rules out first.
Ground rules are
okay. So we discuss this. If we are doing these sports games, we are taking out all kart racers. So that's like any of the wacky racing games like Mario Kart and stuff like that with like power-ups and trash. So we are allowing traditional racing if you want
like
it.
Like a Forza.
Yeah, something like that. You know, like myself, I do have a racing game, actually a couple racing games in mind. But yeah, so all the wackiness by unless it is a more generic sport. Also, if we are taking a Madden or a 2K, we cannot say them as a overall game series. I think that we need to do specific years to really hammer it home.
I did pick specific years if I threw them in there. So they are there.
And I do have a couple of, like, I have a whole bunch of games, to be honest. Five is really hard.
Yeah, I'm actually adding some honorable mentions as we're talking
Do you
want
to do, like, seven? Is that better?
Let's just make it top five and just throw out the best ones that you thought.
Let's do our honorable mentions right now.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking right now.
Okay.
You started off.
An honorable mention.
Are you?
Honorable mention. I want to throw out Punch Out. Punch Out as a series was so fun. I love specifically Super Punch Out. That's the one that really got me into it on the Super Nintendo. Some great series with a very lovable protagonist in Little Mac. And we got some love for it later on the Wii that was really fun. But Super Punch-Out is probably one of my favorite games, and I needed to give it a shout-out. It doesn't make my top five because it's very straightforward, and you can't play it super long, but I really love Super Punch-Out.
I remember you getting the newer one like a couple years. It was a while ago. Yeah. Now, I mean, it was probably...
It was for the Wii.
Yeah, and just... I remember you grinding that out. That was a big one. Yeah, fun. Big one. Go ahead. Name all your honorable mentions.
Another one I got is Mario Strikers Charged. That game is hella fun.
Okay, I also put Mario Baseball in my...
Well, this is not baseball. This is soccer.
Oh, is that not the...
No, that's Super Mario Super Sluggers.
That's what I...
Mario Super Sluggers. So we'll get to that. Is that your honorable mention?
That's an honorable mention
for
me.
Okay. Yeah, Mario Strikers Charged is the soccer game. It is hella fun. That's the one that was on the Wii U. And Super Mario Strikers is actually like the first in the series, in the Mario Sports series, that did like... It's actually considered the most aggressive one because most Mario games are rated E for everyone. This one was rated T for teen because it was, or no, sorry, E10. It was E10.
Yeah. So, no 8-year-olds allowed.
But even still, that shows the level of violence.
Edgy.
Yeah, it was edgy. Dude, they were like playing on in like Hellfire, like airships and shit. So I'm going to give some love to a lesser known series.
All right. Is that all your honorable mentions?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, I'm just going to name mine off. I have a few of them.
Okay.
I won't go into detail too much with them. Madden 11. Madden 11.
Which one is that?
That's the one with Drew Brees on the cover. That one is great. I'll say this. They had these Madden moments. So fun.
Okay, great, I remember those.
Great for the franchise to have a nice little like non-online thing that you can do. Keep going with that. The gameplay wasn't that great, like especially when you look back at it now. But the Madden moments where you could like come back down from 20 with like 7 minutes left.
Yeah, Madden, I remember
they were
remember
fun,
those.
They were challenging, and they were really good.
That is something that is constantly being asked to get brought back.
And they should. They did it from the season before. So it was all the moments that happened in the season before, and you had to recreate them.
That's super cool.
Great idea. Madden 11's up there. I talked about Mario Baseball. I won't go too much in on it after
Mario
that.
Mario Super Sluggers.
Super Sluggers. So fun.
Slooper Sluggers.
Slooper Sluggers. Did I say? It's a hard word to say that fast. I also put in NBA 2K11, which is the one with Michael Jordan on the cover.
Oh, so more 11. You have 2K11 and
it was a
Mandalorian?
Good year. It was a good year. Good year. It might have been 2K12. But I wrote 2K12 here, but now I think it was 2K11.
All right.
The one with Jordan on the cover, regardless. Okay. Next, Madden 20. Honorable mention.
No.
Because it was so big for them after having terrible Madden 19 and 18s and 17 that they at least progressed, so they got a little bit of a bone from me on it. Okay. That the game was so much better than the last three. I think that's why I like it a little more, because it was so much better than that one's. So I only put it as an honorable mention. Topspin, the first one.
Yes.
On the original Xbox.
Topspin was so good.
Topspin was so fun. Even though it was a tennis game, didn't matter. Pete Sampras, undefeated in that game.
Pete Sampras is an awesome tennis player.
One of the most dominating sports video game characters of all time. Underrated.
Okay.
Pete Sampras, Topspin 1. You know, everyone talks about Mike Vick, 04. Pete Sampras, Topspin 1.
All right.
And my last one, I don't know if this is really considered a sports game, but I had to put it in there. What was that game called? I think I wrote the right name. Sega Superstars? Sega Soccer Slam.
We're just going to start it off right from there. My number five is Sega Soccer Slam, dude.
That game was great.
I love Sega Soccer Slam. It is so dumb. It has the most stereotypical characters of all time.
Every single...
It is honestly all over the board. Kind of offensive.
Yeah, you couldn't release that game now.
No,
you probably couldn't.
I know there's like a man that does voodoo. There is like a sumo wrestler.
Well, and the best character from it. We know
Angus. Little Haggis for Little Angus. Thank you very much.
Whatever it was.
Yes, played soccer in a kilt. Yeah. That is my number five. Sega Soccer Slam
it
was
could have
way
been
too
right
fun.
There.
Too fun for words. It 3-on-3 plus a goalie was very fast. Had some ridiculous like charge like special
moves.
Shots.
Yeah,
with honestly like a pretty fun like arena settings as well too. This was on the second generation of PS2. GameCube. I don't know about
Xbox.
We
had it for PS2, right?
Yes, yeah. PS2. And I love that game. It didn't get super favorable reviews. It was like middle of the road, but I'll take it all day long.
I put it in my honorable mentions.
Yes.
Because I knew how much we played that game, and it was so fun. But my number five, starting it off, Wii Sports.
Oh, very classic one.
Wii Sports.
Yeah. Do you have a specific?
The whole game was great. Okay. The whole game was great. Honestly, it was really cool when it first came out. Everyone was crazy over the Wii. You got it with the Wii.
Mm-hmm.
And you could get intense in any of those game modes.
Yeah, you know what? Wii Sports was like the first thing that... It was like the longest running game for the Wii.
Forever.
Like, that had the... It in like Consumer Reports, like that was the main reason why people got the Wii.
Right, you got the game with it,
which is wild. Considering
I'm pretty sure I was a pro in every sport too. Good for me. So
way to go.
I could have been a professional because that's all about actual movements.
Sure.
And it was a lot of fun. You could cheat the bowling system a little bit, where you could glitch that out and get a strike every time. Baseball, you just hit dongs. The training was even fun on it. Yeah, I was a big fan of Wii Sports, and I put it in there because I think everyone liked Wii Sports.
It's a classic.
Yeah.
It's pretty hard not to like Wii Sports. The motion controls were very good, and they've only gotten better now as we see things. But like, still,
it was revolutionary at the time.
People don't quite match up to how good Wii Sports was.
Great game.
And for some reason, Nintendo has not followed up with that at all. They had like some Wii...
Sports Resort.
Yeah, Sports Resort. Which is not on the same level. And they didn't have anything for the Switch yet, which is also odd. Well, we're regardless.
Wii Sports is my five.
Boom. My number four. I know we were talking about racing. Need for Speed Underground was... so fun. I know it's not the most conventional racing game, but It was really kind of revolutionary for racing games back in the day to come out with this like design mode where there is this upgrade and customization levels. Need for Speed Underground was so damn good, and it only got better with the Underground 2, but I'm gonna go with the first one as my initial love because that's the one I remember playing most.
Fair enough.
I had so much fun finding the shortcuts in every little track. The track variations were very good, and I made my car look fucking awesome.
Those were
dude.
Always the best when you could just customize the hell
it
out of it.
It was awesome. And again, that
make
customization.
Make it some weird-ass color. Get some big-ass exhausts on it.
Yeah, and some neons on the bottom,
start
dude.
Start going.
Hell yeah. Need for Speed Underground was my jam with an amazing soundtrack as well.
Ooh, right. You know what? Those car games always have a better soundtrack than any of the in-person games.
Number one in the racing soundtrack list is Midnight Club 3 Dubbed Edition. That soundtrack slapped.
I'm going to take your word for it.
Good.
I'm going to take your word for it.
Do it.
My number four. I told you last week I was going to put it on this list somewhere, but I didn't want to put it too high. MLB Power Pros. Had to be on this list.
Yep.
Another Wii game, by the way. That's two of them.
For you,
for me. MLB Power Pros was released for the 2007 season in baseball. That's when this is from. It's when the Colorado Rockies played the Boston Red Sox in the World Series. Okay? That's when the Rockies won, like, they had Tulowitzki, Matt Holliday. They made it there as a wild card team.
Oh, they played the Red Sox?
Yep.
Oh.
And they released MLB Power Pros. And
in
I played
America
for the first time ever.
Yeah, I kind of blew
and
your
the
mind.
Only time.
I blew your mind about this.
I didn't know
like
that
a
this
long
was
a running series.
Japanese baseball series.
Yes,
I did not.
It's still being made to this day.
And I would literally buy a Wii again to play MLB Power Pros all over again.
I mean, it's not that hard. Wii's are like $20.
I want a new MLB Power Pros, though.
Well, of
that's what I want. Okay, I don't want the MLB Power. I want MLB Power Pros to be perfect again.
Yeah, some like Snapchat avatars.
You used to be able to make a season. You had to create a player, which wasn't that good. It was their season mode wasn't always great, but like the team gameplay was a lot better.
Babies.
You could have it, babies in the game through all of it. The career mode wasn't very good. I don't really remember liking it that much. But you could use all these different types of players. The pitches would go all over the place if you were doing something crazy. And it had a very good, easy style to follow. Very simple controls. Power swing, contact swing. You were hitting X no matter what. Or A, rather, on the Wii remote. I remember having so much fun with that game. And Prince Fielder was on the Brewers, and that was a fun one, too. So
Yes, he was. My number three, I think you're going to be shocked. It is NFL Street. Did I ruin your number one?
Well, you just not my number. I'm not ruined. Yeah, you're ruined.
Well, no, I have other ones, and I'll get there when I get there. But NFL Street, should I just wait? Is that what you're saying?
No, do it.
NFL Street was an awesome game. Me and you go way back on this, obviously.
It's a rivalry.
Addicting. It's addicting.
Yeah.
You'd get just this truncated roster of players from all the all 32
pickup game only
teams.
Pickup game only.
Yes, and you could go team to team, or what me and Thomas like to do is we play the pickup game where you have to draft from a select amount of players. That was the bomb.
Randomizing who gets picked first, who gets ball first,
aka always pick first.
Always pick first.
Dave,
I never
Dave
get picked first.
Always gets picked first.
I just always get ball first. That's
I don't
what
know
it is.
What that's about.
I tell you, I'm about to get ball first, and you do the random.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably like 10, 12 straight games in a row. You've
and number one
first.
Overall, 1, 2, 3,
Randy Moss.
Yes, Randy Moss, God on that game.
Best player of all
so
time,
good.
According to NFL Street.
NFL Street, yes. That game was so much fun. had a great little like campaign story mode as well, where you kind of had to like build your team
the
up.
The stupid celebrations after it was like, look, look, look. Yeah, that tastes good. Yeah. Tastes like touchdown.
Ah, yeah. And unfortunately, only got worse as the games came out.
Didn't even get NFL Street 3 because it was so
Street
bad.
2 and Street 3, and then there was another one, like NFL Street, like home.
I don't even like want to know. I didn't even know that. Like I don't that. Even want to know.
Oh, you didn't? Yeah, it's
don't
awful.
Even want to know. It sounds terrible because yeah. they blew it on the last the series. The first one is so good and perfect almost that they couldn't compete, and they should have just. Oh my God, they just tried to change too much.
And you know what? It's super unfortunate that we're not able to play it now because it would be hot fire. I'd be playing it like crazy.
Oh, if it was new like that? Yeah.
I'll take the old roster. I don't even care. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'd like to have the new players. But if you gave me that, what is it, 2004 roster? Hell yeah.
Rodney Pete.
Rodney
Pete.
Oh, sorry, 2003 roster. Or came out in January.
Another good one we used. I'll bring it up when I talk about it. I'll bring it up another thing I like to do when we talk about it.
All right. Foreshadowing.
My number three, Madden 12. That's what I put right there. That one was such a good game. That's when I really started getting into Madden a lot of time. This is the one with Peyton Hillis on it.
Oh, my God.
Also, the most random Madden cover athlete. Not even close. I mean, no one else is more weird and random to be on a Madden cover than Peyton Hillis.
Okay.
Gameplay for this was the best it ever was. There was never any problems with any glitches. This is when running and passing were both able to do in the game because it was very effective. And honestly, I remember playing this game with friends, and it was a very brand new thing to get very competitive with this, and I was starting to get good at the game. I'm 12 now at this point, so I was starting to realize I really liked playing sports games, especially Madden. This is my favorite Madden by far, and it kind of sucks that I still keep buying this game every year, and it's never going to be as good as that one. And they really fucked it up with Madden 13, and they put aggressive catch in the game, which was just impossible to stop the first year. And now it's in the game still today, but they've nerfed it a little bit. Madden 13 is one of the worst Maddens of all time, and Madden 12 is one of the best ones.
I know absolutely nothing about Madden because I stopped playing, I think, 2004, 2005. 2005, the one with...
McNabb?
No, Michael Vick.
Oh, 04.
Vic on the cover. That's the last Madden that I truly played. So, yeah. I mean, if you haven't noticed, my list of games is very different.
I start to get back to... I only put those in my honorable mentions. I think I got... I'm not just, like, sticking to Maddens or anything, though. I'm doing a little diversity in there.
No, of course.
I had to shout out a couple Maddens because I play so much Madden.
You know, and now that we're going over it, I have, like... three more honorable mentions that I totally forgot. I'm bad. My number two, I think this is in a lot of people my age, like in their top 10 sports. That's backyard freaking baseball, dude.
Mm.
Yeah, you know, you played the backyard football on the GameCube for a good while, but. Me growing up, backyard baseball was where it's at.
I have backyard baseball. I didn't play a lot of it. I did play one of the newer ones that was for the Wii again.
Trash.
It wasn't as good. Yes, but trash. I remember going over to one of my friends' houses, and I had this old box of baseball cards, and you could create players, and we would pick the most random people from the baseball cards. And, like, Lonnie Smith, I remember. Ozzie Smith's brother. We found his baseball card, and we're like, put him in the game! And we would stack up these bums on these backyard baseball teams. But go ahead.
Dude, this is like one of the ultimate millennial games.
Pablo
fucking Sanchez goes down as the best character in a sports game of all time. He beats Bo Jackson as the most dominant character, player, whatever. Bo Jackson in Tecmo Bowl. obviously, we all know the legend that is Bo Jackson and Tecmo Bowl. But guess what? Pablo Sanchez is what's up. Not to mention, you had other great characters. Ahmed Khan, dope. Kenny Kawa-fucking-Gucci, the dude in the wheelchair. He was killing it. Pete Wheeler, baby. Give me a traditional backyard baseball game again, because we are missing it so bad. Missing it.
NBA Street.
Volume 2.
Volume 3.
Oh.
Is my number 2 game.
Oh, you're...
Baron Davis on the cover.
I...
Volume 2 is a great game. Fantastic game. Okay?
I'm taking it back right now.
I love NBA Street Volume 2. I should have put it on my honorable mentions too. But I'm going to tell you right now, I was grinding NBA Volume 3. NBA Street Volume 3.
Okay.
Baron Davis on the cover. I didn't know he was even the guy on the cover when I was playing the game.
Dude, they have done a terrible job at putting the players on there. Because NBA Ballers was like the next kind of iteration. And I think that was Stephon Marbury on the cover of that.
No idea who the hell is in any of the covers. I don't care. You didn't play to get the people that were on the cover.
No, dude.
You played to get the special characters in the game.
Yeah.
They had this, they had this career mode where you were a created guy and you got to pick kind of two bums to play with you.
Oh, yeah.
And you had to go beat these teams and do these challenges and hit this many three-pointers and find all this. And you got to steal players from the team as you kept going on. And I used to love Stretch in the game.
Everyone loves Stretch.
Everyone loves Stretch.
The 7 foot tall whatever, dude.
And I also remember I had Kobe on one of my teams. And he would just score every single point. And... what game was it where you could get the corner three? What game was that where you could glitch the corner three, kind of? You know what I mean?
Man, you're talking to the wrong guy here.
I thought there was a basketball game where you could kind of just do a running, moving three, and it would kind of work every time in the corner. Regardless, NBA Volume 3, NBA Street Volume 3, if you were running forward, you could do this really weird jump animation that was like almost looked like a kick. When you were going, and you would jump from the three-point line and get all the way to, like, the free throw line and just have to, like, drop it in, and it was worth 3 points. And it was absolutely broken in the game, and you banked it off, and it went in every time. And I remember playing that game so much, so I had to put it on my top five at the number two spot.
It's totally fair. Dude, you had Stretch, you had Bonafide, you had Osmosis, Biggie Little was another one. Dime.
Yeah, Biggie Little was fun, too.
Yeah, dude. NBA Street, again, I know Volume 2 better. That's the one that I kind of grew up loving more than anything. Man, I forgot Baron Davis was on the cover of Volume 3. That's wild.
I found that out, like, 5 years after the game. I'm not even kidding.
My number one game, and the reason why it's my number one game, is because I think this might be the very first sports game that I owned. Mm. Like, don't get me wrong. Like I said, I talked about backyard baseball, but that was something that I played going over to friends' houses. But on my GameCube, one of the very first games I got was SSX Tricky. That game was... my
yes,
game.
Yes, D2 Rock Around, that's right, Lockdown Mystery Game.
Yeah, see, I brought back. You didn't think of this one, did you?
No, I didn't.
SSX Tricky was so freaking good.
Damn.
Beautiful graphics for that time, too.
Wow, just amazing for that.
Had so much color and light.
Snowboarding down mountains the whole time.
And these... like snowboard tracks were so varied, man. One of them was like a damn pinball machine.
Well, and I remember you could, there was always like shortcuts and you were doing all the cool moves.
There was
the
no preset path.
Trail behind you and stuff.
And obviously, once you got these trickies, which was like your special trick meter, you did some of the stupidest tricks of all time.
Oh,
Simon, what, like this guy in a crazed mental ward turned his whole freaking body into an airplane and used the snowboard as a propeller. You had Mac, this like little shitty hipster rapper gangster kid, do like the worm all up and down
on his
board.
I remember that guy.
Yeah, man, skills to pay the bills, dude. SSX Tricky goes down as my favorite sports game. I know you were kind of expecting NFL Street. I know that. I think that's where you're going next. But dude, this game was my jam. You know what? I'm gonna put it right here. We need to end this podcast with It's Tricky by Run DMC.
Okay, we can do that.
Yeah,
well,
okay, cool.
My number one game, though, however, it's one of my favorite video games of all time.
Yes.
It's not just my favorite sports video game of all time. NFL Street. And we talked about it, how we used to run it a little bit for your number three game.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite things to do in NFL Street that you didn't bring up that we used to do, okay? We used to run once in a while, the all NFL pickup. And we didn't do the all NFL pickup when we could just pick any players.
Mm-hmm.
It was when we would tell each other, okay, you have to use all offensive linemen,
yes,
and I have to use all defensive linemen.
Those were
for
great
this
days.
Games. And we would play up to 50 trying to score with these fat ass dudes. And we would suck. We would have no one who could throw. We'd try to run. And if you were just get absolutely decked by the guy doing the power
defensive
tackle.
Defensive lineman won every time.
Every time. But we would do it with all different types of positions.
Yep.
And it was like, you get this, you get that. Or when you would just be a super ass. And there would be two quarterbacks there, and it would be like, okay, you have the first pick. The first one's either Mike Vick, the second one, Chad Pennington.
Yep.
And you were like, all right, I'll take Mike Vick with the first pick. And I would say, you know what? I'll just hold off on the quarterback.
Yep.
And then you would just take Chad Pennington
with your second overall pick
just so I wouldn't have a quarterback.
It was so good, dude.
To do it. And...
I lost a lot of those games, too.
Yeah, because you were a liability.
Chad Pennington would be like my defensive, like my offensive lineman.
Yeah, you'd have to put him at center or something. You did it out of spite. Yeah, out of spite, just to make sure I couldn't get one.
That's why we still have a PS2.
Oh, it gets brought out once a year, maybe, or
something
like that.
Yep.
Just be like, let's go play.
You know, we might have to do it today.
Maybe, something like that.
For nostalgia's sake.
But, yeah, that's got to be my favorite video game of all time, probably.
Man,
just straight up.
There's so many good ones out there, too. And I'm not
We're
a
missing
guy.
Some really good ones,
dude,
probably,
like,
too.
The Tony Hawk series, I love that. Ooh. Growing up. They just did the remaster of 1 and 2 this year, which is, like, fire.
Tony Hawk Underground is great.
Like, Rocket League. I know it's not the most traditional one, but Rocket League is hella fun. Me and you,
very
again,
popular.
Had a lot of fun playing that, too. We haven't even touched any wrestling game, which, I mean, we have history.
2008, 2009, 2010.
SmackDown versus Raw series was great.
So good.
I don't know how much you got to play, but WWF No Mercy for the N64.
Oh, we had an N64 game.
WCW World Tour, which was also a great game.
That's one of the best ones.
But, like, there's so many good ones out there that we missed. Please, 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 please. You guys never comment on anything. I am making a plea. Comment your favorite sports video game this time, because There are so many good ones, and I know I'm missing some. We didn't give...
We probably pissed some people off not putting their favorite ones in there.
Dude, we barely even covered anything before 97. Outside of some love to Super Punch-Out. Like I said, Tecmo Bowl's got to be up there. NBA Jam is got to be up there for people.
Yeah, but they remastered it, and it sucks. Well, so that's why everyone probably hates it.
Dude, that's what
happened. But the original ones were great.
That's why NFL Street got knocked down for me too, man. Because like, and that's saying something. Because but SSX series was pretty good overall, outside of like what
that I'm was sure. A really good first one.
Yeah, yeah. Dude, SSX, like that one. SSX Tricky, and SSX 3 were all great.
Great. Yeah, we made it now 10 weeks in a row putting something out. We've having a lot of fun. We're hopefully going for 10 more weeks at least.
One more week at the very least. I go week to week basis on this one.
We're having a lot of fun. Keep letting us know. Keep downloading us. Check us out on Apple Podcasts.
Yep.
At Spotify, yep. I think we're on. And of course, thechairshot.com as well too, and Podbean. We love all those guys.
Yeah. Peace.
This is gonna be very, very interesting.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.